Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I want to recap a little bit about what I spoke about last week. Spoke about faith. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I want to touch on the fact that in the Old Testament, the word faith is never used except once when the prophecy came forth that the just shall live by faith. You can't live by faith now because there's nothing to actually put your faith in the time of the Old Testament. So therefore, we must understand the only other time the word was mentioned was when God declared the people of Israel as being a faithless generation. So therefore, we must understand that in the Old Testament, as much as we love the Old Testament, it is a schoolmaster. Are we okay? It's a schoolmaster, the Bible says in the book of Galatians, that leads us to Christ. And I want to encourage each and every one of you, if the Psalms is still your favorite book, I know how many Christians that Psalms is their favorite book. The Psalms are a book of comfort. It's time to get beyond just comfort. It's time to get past the law of Moses, that all he does is wonder and wonder who God is. We're not a people who are going to be wandering around the wilderness, wondering what God's going to do next. We've got to be a people who overcome, who cross over. The reason why Moses did not cross over was very simple, and a lot of people don't understand this. If you don't remember the story when God told him to strike the rock because the people were murmuring and mumbling and complaining, so he told them to strike the rock and water came forth. Hallelujah. Obviously, that rock was a type of Jesus Christ. In fact, in the book of Acts, it says that the rock did follow them, and that rock was Christ. So in case you're wondering what that, so there was a rock that was following them. Don't look at me like that. That's what the Bible says. Wherever they went, they turned around, there was that rock. Boy, that rock looks familiar. Yeah, so it should. But when God spoke to Moses the second time when they wanted water, he said, speak to the rock. Come on, folks, I need you to get this today. He didn't say strike the rock, because the rock was struck once. It was called the crucifixion. That's why the rock never has to be struck again. Hallelujah. It was struck once for all mankind. Praise God. When every sin was paid for and we were crucified with Christ. Can somebody say, thank God?
Thank God.
So therefore, you do not have to strike the rock again. Jesus does not have to be crucified again. We do not have to spill the blood of Jesus again. It was spilt once for all. Can you say amen? So therefore, I want to encourage each and every one of you. It is not time to strike the rock. It is time to speak to the rock. Therefore, when you have a problem, stop blaming God and start speaking.
Amen.
Moses was a wanderer. He never inherited, never overcame. Then Moses died, and he had an inheritance. And it left the inheritance to Joshua. And Joshua was an overcomer. Joshua was the man who says, I'm not going to live a life of wandering. I'm not going to live in a life of just deliverance. I want you to hear this, saints. If the Psalms is your favorite book, you are still living a life of deliverance instead of a life of overcoming. Come on, folks, you should have a better response than that. You cannot just live a life of deliverance. You must live a life of overcoming. That's why Jesus came, to him that overcometh, message seven times in the book of Revelation to seven churches. It's a pretty serious message, praise God. Overcome, overcome. Oh, I can't overcome. Overcome. How do you overcome? By speaking, by speaking, by speaking, by speaking. That's why God said to Joshua in chapter 1, he said, let the word be in your mouth continually. You must meditate on it day and night. The word is nigh you. It is in your mouth.
Amen.
Do not say who shall ascend, that is to go into the heavens, or who shall descend, that is to go into the pit and bring Christ up from the dead. But the word is nigh you. It's in your mouth. It is the word of faith that we preach. Hallelujah. And till the word is in your mouth, you are just an Old Testament Jew. And while you're at it, you might as well get circumcised. And keep the Sabbath. And you might as well, you know, park your car on Saturday. And stop eating cheeseburgers. If you don't know, they're not kosher, sorry. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
We are not under the law.
That's right.
Christ is the end of the law to those who believe. Why do you think in Luke 24 the Bible says that Jesus Christ fulfilled the law and the prophets and the Psalms? He fulfilled the Psalms. So if you're still singing, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord," he did it. Don't worry, he fulfilled it. He did it. He took out your heart of stone. He put in a heart of flesh. He gave you a new spirit. He gave you a new testament. He gave you a new life. You are a new creation. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're waiting for, but he's already done it. Hallelujah. That is the gospel. This is why we can say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation, to those who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." For in it, in what? In the gospel. The righteousness of God is revealed, for as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That was that prophecy that was prophesied by the prophets that was fulfilled by Jesus Christ, and it was that verse that revolutionized the whole world, because it was that Martin Luther realized is the declaration of the Reformation. We need a Reformation. We need to understand that you do not get everything you want in Jesus Christ just by faith. Faith without works is dead. Come on, saints. Hallelujah. We're going to have some fighting talk this morning. Can you say amen? I hope you guys got your Bibles with you, because this is what it's all about. And I just have to say, I know we say it every week, maybe we shouldn't, but I have to. This morning's message in the 9:30 class was riveting. Had me on the edge of my seat with my mouth dropped as Josh was speaking and sharing about character and about the anchor of the soul. And it was just an amazing message. Folks, you really need to understand what Sunday is. Sunday is right here, 9 o'clock for prayer, 9:30 for class, 10:30, then afterwards, go do what you like, but preferably eat bagels and drink coffee with us. Folks, you've got to be involved, man. You've got to understand what faith is. Faith is. Gary, stand up and read to us what faith is, please. Yeah, actually bellow it, it's better. Hallelujah.
And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundation.
Praise God.
Whose builder and maker is God. And by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead,
right,
from which he also received him in a figurative sense.
Until Abraham stretched out his hand with that knife in it, he didn't have faith. That is what faith is. That is faith. Jesus was in the synagogue teaching, you may remember. And while he was in the synagogue, there was a man with a withered hand. And the man with a withered hand, well, the debate was not faith. The debate was law. They saw, oh, what's Jesus going to do? It's the Sabbath. And so Jesus said, come stand in the midst. Come here. I want to encourage you. Jesus is speaking to each and every one of us to come. It's an amazing thing that all the disciples were in the boat. They're in the boat, right there. They're in there. One of the most amazing things in the Bible, when they see Jesus walking in the night, they're not sure whether it's a ghost. And then Peter, as many times we've heard this throughout the Bible, not just him, but many people ask some what would appear to be the dumbest question ever written. If that is you, Lord. And I know how many Christians are still asking that question. I was told last week at the conference where the guys went up to Albany that they were saying, they read from the book of Acts, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And so we're thinking about taking this group to Africa. And then the guys were aghast. They were all gagging when they came back and told me. They said, and then he said, we're praying about this. If that be you, Lord, how many are you still praying about whether it's Jesus walking on the water? How many are you thinking it's some spook, some ghost, some shadow of Christmas past? What is it you think it is? There's something, a voice crying in the darkness, a voice crying out saying what? I'll tell you what he's saying. He's answering your question. That's what he's saying. If that's you, Lord, bid me to come. I love the word of the Lord when it comes. Come. What did he say? Hang on. Let me get a confirmation. I think I'll go on a fast. I wonder if we should go to Africa. Let's pray about it. Have you ever thought, I don't know how many of you do this. I think some probably do. But do you ever pray whether you should commit murder or not? Or how about some, do you ever pray about whether you should commit adultery or not? And yet we pray about the voice that says, come. Don't understand it. Same voice, same God, same commission, same reality, same life-saving truth, and yet we still think it's a spook in the dark. So he called him out in front of everybody and said, stretch forth your hand. You see, that's the issue. Jesus is not going to say, well, you're healed, son. He's going to say, stretch out your withered, useless, haven't used it, atrophied Christian arm. Come on, folks, get mad today. Eh? How many of us have got a withered arm? How many of us, we've actually got a hand that has been commanded to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, and it's withered? It's withered. You know, we do all kinds of other things. The most popular ministry in the church world, and still not popular enough, is the ministry of helps. We'll do anything but what we're asked to do. And I want to say this because maybe you've been in churches, maybe you've never been in a church that's as all-inclusive as we are. I love to talk about Jared and Chris, how when they first came here, was it the first week or the second week when Diane prayed for you to speak in tongues downstairs? First week. First week they're here. Is this? Don't seem on. Jack, there's not enough volume here. Is it on? It's not on very loud. The first week they were here, they recommitted their lives to the Lord. They went to church when they were young, but like a lot of things, fat lot of good that was. Because you can't expect the church to train up your child. Come on, folks, I need you to hear this. It is not our responsibility to train up your child, even though we do an excellent job at it, hallelujah. It is your responsibility to train up your child. And if your child doesn't go in the way he should go when the child gets older, don't blame us. Because they go to Sunday school, and then somewhere in between the lies of adolescence, they lose the vision and they forget to do what they're supposed to do. So, of course, as you know, those two guys, they joined the military and ran around wild for years. And then they came here with an arm-twisting persuasion by Dan Ray. Hallelujah. Dan had been talking to him for months. Hey, you got to come to my church. My church is great. You got to come. He was like that nagging widow in front of the judge. Eventually they came, hallelujah, and they recommitted their life to the Lord. And while they were here, first time, downstairs, Diane Caliendo come up and says, you guys speak in tongues? What? Say here. You want to pray in tongues? Sure. And she laid hands on them in the cafe while everybody's chomping on bagels. And then they started speaking in tongues. Then I walked up to them and said, okay, you guys going to come to India with me? Yeah, okay. It's their first day here, for God's sake. You see, we weren't allowing their arm to get atrophied. We weren't allowing it to happen. We were saying, okay, you want to be part of this house? Then stretch out your hand. And stop waiting on God. Come on, folks. You want to fight over the word? I'm the right guy to pick on. Oh, man, do I love this subject. How many times did Jesus say it? Pick up your bed. When he saw their faith. What do you mean he saw their faith? They're ripping a stupid roof off. He saw their faith. He saw their faith. James said, faith without works is dead. It's meaningless, lifeless. And I will say this because so many of us are still spending so much of our time in prayer. And, you know, we're still too busy with the blood on the doorpost. Now, don't get me wrong here. You, without the blood on the doorpost, we would none of us be saved. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the blood on the doorpost was a one-off experience. Like the rock is a one-off experience. Like crucifixion is a one-off experience. And that one is enough for all mankind for all of eternity. And we can't be now nuzzling down at the foot of the cross because the cross is an event that should have happened in your life, understanding I have been. Bible doesn't say I'm in the process of being crucified. And if you are of the wrong theology, whenever you got taught in your church of when I die daily, the context of that scripture is very plain. He was talking about natural death, the perils of preaching the gospel. Dying daily is not the gospel. Having been crucified with Christ is the gospel, which is why Paul so could emphatically say in Colossians 3:3, you are dead. Amen. And your life is in with Christ in God. So these things are important for us to grasp. Okay, wonderful people. Are we doing okay? Have you got your Bible with you? Okay. Let's just think of it. Jesus is, you know, I want to say this. Mary must have been a great woman, Jesus' mother. Actually, she must have been the greatest. Right? I mean, I'm sure, you know, he wanted perfection, so he got, you know, the woman who was esteemed above all women on the earth. So when Jesus is hanging around at a wedding and she schleps over to him, son, what's up, mum? They ran out of wine. What's it got to do with me? It wasn't enough for mum, was it? So mum, the great leader, I don't know why she had the authority to do this, but she was quite a lady. We have lots of great ladies in this church who have great authority, and great word in their mouth. So she schleps over to the guys and says, hey, listen, whatever he says to you, do it. Didn't say pray about it. Didn't even say believe it. Said do it. So Jesus, I can just say, mums are just wonderful things. You know, my mother's going to be 97 in a couple of months, and you think, when is she ever going to think I've grown up? Maybe one day. Maybe when she gets a letter from the Queen, she thinks I've grown up. Only 3 more years to go. Hallelujah. Whatever he says, do it. I must tell this old story. You must remember this. This Holy Ghost just nudged me this one. Years ago, when we were on our way to China, we stopped in Korea because, long story, yeah. All right, we were going into China because of a Korean woman who was actually the mother-in-law of Dr. Yonggi Cho. Have you heard of Yonggi Cho? He's got the biggest church in the world. It actually wasn't that big in those days. It was only 150,000 when we visited it. But anyway, it was still the biggest then. 150,000 people in that church, 1980. Now there's over 1 million, one church. Anyway, so it was his mother-in-law, and she was the assistant pastor. Now that proves there's a kingdom of God. When your mother-in-law's your assistant pastor. Come on, girls, get it. God, help me. So anyway, I heard her preach a great message when she came to Jerusalem. We had a conference, and she was amazing. Little lady, she wasn't that big. She was a tiny little peanut of a lady, really into holiness. It was kind of an Asian thing, you know. She wore stuff down here and a hat and stuff. She wore a long dress with long pants under it, and she was all dressed up. And I just want to tell you another side. Sorry, if I'm going to start telling stories, I often get like this. So one night she got up. It was a prayer and fasting conference, and she got up, and she preached to an interpreter. Now, her interpreter was a Korean, obviously. He was an industrialist from Los Angeles, but a Korean born man. So she begins to preach. And he's going, she say, he used to do it all the time. I used to love it. He started every sentence with, she say, you're like, yeah, we got it, man. You don't have to say she say, just tell us what she's saying. She say, read Isaiah 58. So we all turn to Isaiah 58. She say, don't read it now. Read it at home. And then she goes, she say she's going to dance. So this little lady, she's sitting there, and she starts. So there's like hundreds of us. Binyanei Helmar, if you've been to Jerusalem, biggest conference hall in the whole country. We're sitting there watching this lady on the platform. And we just... And all of a sudden it hit us. Wow! The whole place took off dancing. That was her message. She wasn't going to preach that night. She was going to do it. And so she just danced the whole night. We all did. The place went nuts. Then, at the end of the night, she sat on the platform, which was actually about this high. And it was tremendous because she's sitting on there balancing. Help me, somebody. Okay. She's sitting there with her little legs dangling down like this. And then she said, I pray for everybody. There's hundreds of us. So they got this huge line. She come along and she lay hands. And she go, pray fast 3 days. Pray and fast 10 days. Pray and fast, that's what she was doing. She was praying for everybody to fast. Well, me, Muggins here, I was the biggest bouncer there. I mean, the biggest usher there. So what happened is she knew me because we were on the China team. So as she's sitting there with her legs dangling, and in the end, she couldn't say it anymore. She just would give me how many days the people would have to fast. And as they're coming through, she'd lay hands on them, the power go, but what? And I had to catch him. I was the only catcher. I feel sorry for you catchers. You have no idea what you're doing, but anyway, the point. So, and it's the Holy Ghost would hit him. I go, fast 5 days. Fast 3 days. Fast 10 days. Fast 4 days. You know, when you do that 700 times, mate, hallelujah. That was a great conference. But she preached a message another night. Four things. Four things you must do. Ah, number one. She say, no, we missed that bit. Number one, fast and pray. She used to teach people. She even used to make her chickens fast. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I promise you, she did. She made her chickens fast. One day a week, she wouldn't feed them. Next day. If I don't do, I don't eat. Anybody figure out I'm enjoying myself? I'm telling you, she increased her productivity by making the chickens fast. She made her grandkids fast. 4 years old. She made pregnant mums fast before and after the baby was born. She was crazy. Mind you, she did develop Prayer Mountain, which, of course, did develop the biggest church in the world. Anyway, pray and fast. Number two, speak in tongues. Oh, man, she used to love preaching, speaking in tongues. And when she used to speak in tongues, non-stop, mate. Didn't need a second wind like the Americans, you know. I think speaking tongues for 10 minutes, then they lose their breath. To get you to go running with Joseph, get your second wind. They never used to seem to give up. In fact, when I was in that church, right, it was only small then. It only seated 10,000 people. They had to have like 12 meetings a weekend, you know. And you weren't allowed to go to two. And I remember sitting there, of course, up in the section where we had interrupters and that, so with the headphones on. And so I used to love it. I just feel like telling you these stories. Am I okay? I remember the one of the elders that was there, they would stand there. And I don't know what pray is in Korean, but it sounded something like geo, something. That's what it sounded like. And they would stand there, right? It's 10,000 Koreans there. And suddenly the guy would go, geo! And they would grip a hold of the chair, and their knuckles would go white, man. Talk about the effectual fervent prayer of 10,000 Koreans avails much. Hallelujah. Woo. It was that time I totally was convinced there's going to be a rapture, because I was gone. I thought, oh, here I come, Lord. Everything on me stood up, man. 10,000 people fervently praying in tongues. Hallelujah. It was powerful. And then they had to shut them up. They had this big bell. They had to have a bell to shut them up. Then she used to preach all-night prayer. Because that's the hour of darkness, you know. This is what she preached. So number one, fast and pray. Number two, speak in tongues. Number three, all-night prayer. Number four, do it! That was it. Faith without works is dead. No matter how much I preach, how much Josh preaches, if you ain't doing it, dun, 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 dun. And when you need something from God, you say, I hope so. Oh, hi, Moses. Struck any good rocks lately? Come on, folks. Jesus came and said, speak to the mountain. Speak to it. When you pray, if you say, If the word isn't, I said this last week, I've got to say it again. Some of you folks been in this church for years, I still haven't heard you quote me a scripture. The word's not in you. It's not in your heart, and you're still hoping so. Until the word's in you, it ain't going to happen. Until the word's in you. The word must be in your heart. All right, so I've got a lot to share, so let me just try and stick to some of these things. Right. So the guy stretched forth his hand. Now, I really want to read this. This part of the message is really exciting to me. Moses must be in Exodus. Exodus 14, hallelujah. Good old Moses. Now, don't get me wrong. Moses was a great man because it clearly says in the book of Acts that he will raise up for you a prophet like his servant Moses. And that prophet was Jesus. And so these are important things. And don't get me wrong about the Old Testament. King David was a man after God's own heart. And we understand that in the book of, in the Old Testament, Joshua was a type of Jesus causing us to overcome. We had the high priest, we had Melchizedek, we had Abraham, the father of faith. But not one of them were born again. Not one of them was saved. Not one of them achieved Matthew 11:11. For the law and for no man born of woman was greater than John the Baptist. Nevertheless, he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. That means if you're born again, you're greater than anybody that came before John the Baptist. Come on, folks, that's the truth, and that truth will set you free. But the truth will not set you free until it's in your mouth. Remember what I said last week? The best preacher in the world is you, because faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And if you ain't saying, you ain't hearing. If you is seeing, you is hearing. So say it and hear it. Then when you hear it, faith will come and you'll say it. And then when you say it, praise God, you'll hear it. And then when you hear it, faith will come. You see, when you hear God, faith comes. Not just quoting scriptures, but when it's alive in your mouth and in your heart, faith will come. You don't baptize a person and make them wet. When you baptize, wet comes. Come on, folks. Faith is the simplest thing in the world, yet most Christians have no idea. That's what's happened. Some of you have been going to church such a long time and haven't done anything. You're atrophied. Similar to centipede. Or dead millipede. That's the problem, folks. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? You are his workmanship. Workmanship. And the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, his work is perfect. I mean, put those two thoughts together. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So it doesn't matter how well you've been created. It's whether you stretch forth your hand or not. I've just been in Italy. I saw the David. Nothing more magnificent probably has ever been created, carved out of stone. But he can't stretch forth his hand. And there are too many of us. This is our life. And we're wondering, why is my marriage not working out? Why are my kids not obeying? Why are my finances a mess? Why am I not the person I know that I'm supposed to be? It's because you won't stretch out your hand unto good works. And your faith is dead. All right. I'm not talking about dead works. Whoa, just heard that in the spirit. Dead works is doing something because you think you'll get saved by it. That's dead works. You know, helping little old ladies across the street. Don't worry, you're still going to hell. I pay my taxes. Good, well done you. You're going to hell. I go to church every week. That's fine. You're still going to hell until you believe. Okay? So we're not talking about dead works. We're talking about good works. Okay. So what was I talking about? Exodus. Moses. Moses. Mind you, just always remember, don't mess with Moses. I mean, he did kill an Egyptian soldier once. Anyway, that's not the point. Do you remember the story? They've escaped. You see, that's the thing. Many of us, when we get set free from something, we think we're out. Well, we are, but the Egyptians ain't dead yet. You see, until the Egyptians are dead in your life, if you call to mind the Egyptians, if you call to mind, the Bible says, if you call to mind the country from where you came, you'll have opportunity to go back there. This is why you got to forget. If you were, like I said to a young man recently, listen, man, you need to forget the streets. That's not who you are. I said, you need to come under my authority. I got brave with him. Great young man, great call on his life. I said, you need to come under my authority. So he did. 2 days later, I got a phone call from him. His part-time job, he got a raise and more hours. 2 days after he comes under authority. 2 days after I told him to forget the streets and begin to live for God. And then he got another job. Hallelujah. So now he's got two jobs and he just don't know what to do with all the money he's going to help me guide him with. Me help him guide. Anyway, whatever I'm meant to be saying, you got my point. I had lunch last week with a precious couple. Beautiful people. And they're in a dilemma. Their boss is saying, no, you need to move. Not too far. You've got to Albany. Albany's opening up. We don't think Kingston is fruitful. And they're torn. They're upset. They don't want to leave the church. That's a beautiful thing. They've got an opportunity for promotion, but their priority is their church. That's a beautiful thing. And so while we're eating, you know, like any good, thus saith the Lord, can come out of General Tso's or any kind of chicken and broccoli. And I suddenly said, this is the word of the Lord. Say yes to Albany. And she burst into tears. She didn't want to say yes to Albany. I said, until you make your mind up, God can't help you. Until you make your mind up, God can't move. So she had a few tears in the rest of that day and she dealt with it and said yes. Monday, their boss said, it's all right, you don't have to move. And I heard they also put a bid on a house. Hallelujah. Now, I'm saying these things because as long as you got faith and you're not stretching out your hand, it ain't worth spit. Are we okay? All right, wonderful people. Here we go, Exodus. Hallelujah. Should have heard that word that Josh preached this morning. So they're running from the Egyptians. The Egyptians are after them. Everybody panics. Everybody's scared. And then it says, Exodus 14, 13. Are you there? Got your pen ready to underline this? And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. For the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. How's that for rotten theology? That's a good old advice of man. Stand still and see the salvation of your God. Doesn't work. What was that word you spoke the other day about? Oh man, just slipped. Having done all, stand. Remember that? Remember that word? That was awesome. Everybody remembers having done all, stand therefore. Ephesians 6. So therefore, oh, I'm standing for God. Yeah, but you haven't done all yet. Excuse me, Mr. Arm. The amount of times I've heard people quote this scripture, stand still and see the salvation of your God. The advice of men. Are you looking at me in that tone of voice? Look at the next verse. Verse 15. And the Lord said, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. He said, I never told you to stand still. Come on, folks. Are you reading it? Do you bring your Bibles? Everybody remembers the stand still and see the salvation. Oh, the Lord will fight my battles for you. No, he won't. Okay. You say, oh, but the Bible says not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Yeah, it also says for as many as are led by the Spirit of the Lord, these are the sons of God. Therefore, come on, folks. If you're not being led by the Spirit of God, you're standing still and seeing a natural feet hand. Faith has to have works. Faith has to have action. I remember, I tell this story a lot, but the Holy Spirit is nudging me on this one. Right, years ago, my son's 12 years old. I'm leaving for Africa on Sunday. On Thursday, he gets pneumonia. He coughs all night long. Wendy and I were just so distraught. We're in Queens. So distraught about it. Next day, we take him to hospital. Friday, he's got pneumonia. I mean, you know, you don't want to hear about your 12-year-old having pneumonia, right? I'm leaving the country 2 days. Then one of the women in the church says, God told me he's got to go to Africa with you. It's Friday. He has pneumonia. I'm leaving Sunday. His passport is in Lexington. His lungs are in Egypt. But the Lord said, I trusted the word of the Lord. Listen, just because someone prophesies, don't just buy it. Just make sure you know who's prophesying before you buy it. So anyway, she now wasn't going to just stand still and see the salvation of her God. She said, I'll buy his ticket. She stretched forth her hand. I called somebody in Lexington and said, bring his passport down. Sunday, he was on the plane with me, healed. Now, come on. How many of you don't go to church because you got a sniffle? How many of you don't go to home group because you got a headache? You see, you're not stretching out your hand. You're not taking a step of faith. If that be you, Lord, bid me to come. Come. Come where? To home group. Yeah, you need to step out of your boat, of your island, of your limitation of church once a week. It's limiting you. It's not enabling you to go over. You're going to go round and round. We did this last week, didn't we? You're going to go round and round, keep hitting the rock. When's God going to begin to set me free? When he's got... It's you, not God. We're not Calvinists in this church. We are not Hindus. We are not fatalists. We do not believe that God is in control. We believe he's in charge and you're in control. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. Are you with me? Fill the pots, pour them out. Jesus is always saying it. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. Where's your faith? Stretch out your hand. So what does it say? Verse 15. Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide it. Now, let's just talk about that rod for a minute, okay? You remember the situation when it all started? It's Moses can't deal with his conscience because Jesus had not been crucified. Therefore, there was nothing to cleanse his conscience from dead works. Is everybody with me on this? I know a lot of this is going over your head, but you serious scholars, you must be hearing what I'm saying, right? So now he's out there hiding running away from his destiny when suddenly, boom, there's a burning bush. And he goes before the burning bush, takes his shoes off, stands there, and God begins to tell him, I am. So he begins to say these things, and then in the end, Moses, like all Christians, is making excuses. And then suddenly God says to him, you know, Moses is going, well, how can I, and God says, all right, enough already. Remember, God speaks Hebrew. We know Jesus did. He did on the Damascus Road. That's not the point. So, Jesus might have spoke Aramaic, but once he got to heaven, he spoke Hebrew. Did you know that? He spoke to Paul in the Hebrew tongue. It says so right there. Anyway. So, he says to Moses, oh, please. What's in your hand? A stick. That'll do. That stick, what's in your hand? Oh, nothing. Just a handful of meal and a little oil. That'll do. Oh, what's in your hand? Oh, just two mites. That'll do. What are you doing with what's in your hand? It's what you're doing with what I know church people well. And I know the story. Oh man, I'm looking forward to the day that I can give $1,000. No. What are you doing with the 10 bucks in your pocket? What are you doing with that rod in your pocket? Don't give me this. I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to. Well, listen to my son Daniel's testimony. In fact, I think I'll get you to testify next week, Daniel's son, about all the blessings of God in your life this recently. What's in your pocket? What's in your hand? You see, it was the rod of Aaron, another rod, a useless piece of dead wood. Do you know how God can really use useless pieces of dead wood? And what God can do with pieces of wood that are just dead. See, you're forgetting one thing. That this rod, this tree, this piece of dead wood did everything you're ever going to need. It killed every Egyptian. It killed every disease. It killed every sickness, and it killed your poverty. But you don't want to believe it. Aaron's rod, it budded, even though it was a dead wood, and it ended up in the ark of God. So my closing point is this, is as Gary's already read, back out of Hebrews 11. So it says, praise God. Boy, I could preach on for hours, mate. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. That sounds familiar. Of whom it was said in Isaac, your seed shall be called, concluding, here's what I want you to hear, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. And this is what I want to say in closing, right? Everybody give me 2 minutes. Until your faith is in the resurrection, you are still living in hope. You are still living in the law. You are still following Moses. You are still striking the rock. And you are never going to see the promises of God fulfilled in your life. Until you understand that God has put something in your hand, seemingly dead, a stick, that in each and every one of your hands, he has given you the gift of the death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. Your faith has to be in the fact, the truth, that even though your body may be dying, God can resurrect it. Even though you may be a drunk, God can resurrect it. Even though you're addicted to sex, God can resurrect it. Even though you're addicted to misery, to rejection, and you're addicted to every kind of miserable depression, God can resurrect it. But you got to make sure you got to do something. And all I want to say in closing is don't ever come to me about how poor you are. If there's one thing I will not accept, because when my wife and I sold everything and left our country in 1979 and hitchhiked through four countries with no money, traveled around the world with five kids, often arriving with no connections. And once we arrived in South Africa, two babies, Wendy's pregnant, we got $35 and two addresses and no more air tickets. All I'm saying is I always had faith in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, that my Father in heaven would look after me. And I'd always stretch forth my hand. Last story I'm going to tell. It's a small one maybe, but the Holy Ghost has given it to me. So Liam is going to Poland to preach a gospel, right? We remember it well. We had one baby, Alice. Everybody remember your first child? Whew. Nothing like that. And they're taking an offering to send this one man to Poland to preach a gospel. My mother had just sent us £5, a fortune. And that £5 was burning in my pocket. And the purpose of the £5? To buy my only child a pair of shoes. We didn't mind cast-offs for every other part of her body, but shoes. But then there was an offering when to send a man to preach a gospel. Boy, that £5. I thank God that my arm was not atrophied. Why do you think the Bible says God's arm is not shortened that he cannot save? And I stretched out my hand and took out that £5 note and put it in the offering and have never needed since. What's in your hand, folks? Until you stretch out what's in your hand, your faith is dead. Father, I thank you that this word is not something that we're just going to treat lightly. But Father, I pray this morning that there'll be people here that will realize they have got to stop striking the rock, stop speaking to God as if it's your fault when they're not stretching forth their hand.